Okay, g'day. My name's Ben. I'm one of the leaders here at CDBC. Today we're talking about be still and know that I am God. This is a scripture that comes from Psalm 46. Now, anyone who knows anything about Enneagram types, I'm a type 9. If you don't know what that means, it's fine, it's not actually important. But my type is the type that takes things easy. We relax. We don't use more energy than we have to. We take the path of least resistance. It's our default setting. So this is what I do. So when someone says, be still and know that I am God, I latch on pretty quickly to the be still part. Thing is, when I look at this properly, that's not what it means. I also thought the part where it says I am God at the end, it was going to be the big bold Yahweh. I mean, God uses his name, I am. It wasn't that either. I did get them a little bit right, 1 out of 3, not too bad, I guess. But what I want to do first of all is have a look at what the chapter actually says. So we'll have a bit of a read of the chapter, get a bit of a feel for the context. Many folks believe this psalm was composed after David defeated some of Israel's enemies. So Psalm 46. For the choir director, a song of the descendants of Korah, to be sung by soprano voices, in case you wanted to know that. From verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come, and when the mountains crumble to the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Now, Spurgeon called this psalm the Song of Holy Confidence, but it's also often known as Luther's psalm because Martin Luther wrote a famous hymn about it. Ein fester Berg ist unser Gott, if you wanted to know. The English version, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. We found a video of some people singing that one, so you can have a look at it if you like. I'll put a link somewhere for you to find. But if I ever do a scripture, I always want to have a look at what the specific words are. I want to look at the original language and get a feel for what they might mean when they were originally read. Now, be still. Like I said at the beginning, be still. It sounds to me like be calm, be chill, sit back, relax, have a cuppa, you know, think about things, meditate. We can tend to kind of read it that way, but the original word actually is much more of a command. It says desist, halt. You could read it as to cease arguing, to fall silent, to let it go. You can read it as let it be, but also to fall slack like a dropped rope, to stop struggling and surrender, to become weak, to faint, or to fall down as if dead. So this is much less of a sit back and relax, take it easy, and much more like, stop! Stop what you're doing! Don't fight! or even just going for the let go. Let go of this thing you're hanging on to. Let go. Stop. Now, when it comes to the word no, there's a lot of meanings around this word as well in the original language. So I'll go through a few of the possibilities here, and I'll cling to one of them a little bit. So to know, to have information, to know, to notice, or to realize, to learn, to understand, or to teach, to confess, to proclaim, or to make known. So not just to have information, but to share, to impart that to others. To understand deeply, or to have an intimate relationship. Yep, those folks who were familiar with the old King Jimmy version, Adam knew his wife and they had a son. And this is the same word. Now, I don't think that this context is saying to be still and know, but I think the deep understanding that's implied the way that they used that word, I think that's what we're trying to get to, is that deep understanding. Not just to have information, but to really get a hold of it. Now, I said I was originally thinking that I might get the I am, and it wasn't that. I was a bit disappointed by that. But what I did find was that it doesn't just say that I am God. Our translations usually say that because it makes sense in English. But the original language is much more likely to say something like, because I am God. And I thought that was really significant, because it's not just that we know that He is God, but that we are going to be still and get a hold of this information because He is God, the one who is speaking. It's not just that the information is important, but the one who says it. His identity is the important thing. So we need to be still and know because He is God. But of course, if you say that in English, be still and know because I am God, what we get is know what? What should I know? I know because, but what do I know? I think that both are actually important. The reason we translate it as that is to make sense in English, because we can't just say no because this. We have to say to know something, know that. But the original language seems to sit much better with the idea of knowing because. So I think if I was going to render this in a way that grabs hold of each of those words the way that they originally probably meant, it might sound something like, let go of all of that nonsense, all of the fighting and struggling, all of the fears and all of the hang-ups and things. Let them go and get a hold of this idea, this thing. This is the important thing. He is God. The one who's speaking to you is God. Let go of everything else and hang on to that, because that's important. So, what does it mean if we read it like that? Stop struggling, let go, and get a hold of this idea that He is God. I think we tend to get wrapped up in our everyday life. We get wrapped up in our fears, and we get wrapped up in trying to do things the way we think. We try to make things happen the way we think they should. We try to do all the stuff. And we forget that actually the world is God's and everything in it, including us. And He's the one who makes the plans, and we are the ones who join Him. It says a little bit in the scripture that He is with us. I think sometimes when we read that, we think, I'm going to do this thing and God is going to be with me. But scripture mostly tells us actually we are with Him. That God is the one who does things, and He makes the plans, and we do whatever He's doing. We join in whatever He's doing. We stop trying to do it all ourselves. We stop struggling, we stop fighting, we stop hanging on to all the stuff, and we stop trying to make it all work and, you know, do it, figuring it all out, making all of our plans. We stop all of that. And we say, God, what are you doing? We ask him, show me what it is that you want to do. Show me your plan. Show me where you want me to go. Show me what you want me to do. You show me, tell me, and then I will join you. I'm going to stop and know that he is God. And that's how I want to read this one. Anyway, have a good one. Catch you later.
Well, this is a first, videoing myself. But then this has definitely been a year of first. Who would have imagined that 4 months ago that we would be holding, well, we wouldn't be holding church services or groups, that we wouldn't be able to hug or to stand close? And who would have seen that apparently true wealth is an unopened packet of toilet rolls? Me neither. We've been telling people to hunker down in their homes and not come out until this has passed. And it feels like every time that you look at TV or talk to someone, you're getting coronavirus thrown in your face, well, figuratively speaking. It's been a very weird year, and it kind of looks like this. So hi, my name is Pamela Thompson, and I'm one of the leaders at Christie's Beach Baptist Church. And today, I am continuing on our perspectives on resting in God. And we'll be using the scripture, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Look, it's just going to be lovely. We're going to enter into a serene time of just touching. This is not working. I mean, how are you supposed to rest in God with all of this being going on? I have been running for a couple of weeks now, doing things I never thought I'd do, having conversations that I never thought I'd have, falling in bed ridiculously early, getting up and starting all over again. I've seriously been considering self-isolation as a case of mental self-preservation rather than avoiding catching and giving a virus. Frankly, I thought I'd get more painting done and probably even read a book. But be still and know that I am God is what we're talking about today. So, be still and know that I am God kind of feels like it should be this. And this is a very brief internet search. It's not an Instagram moment. Be still and know that I am God is more like this. And we need it in this. Maybe even this. And reading the whole psalm of Psalm 46, things are going sideways. In a big way. The earth's giving way. The waters are roaring. The kingdoms are faltering. It kind of feels like that's happening right now, everywhere. So how on earth do we rest in this? Be still and know that I am God. For me, the beginning is that I need to know my God. Do I know his voice? Do I know his opinion of me? Do I have a growing understanding of his attributes? And I'm talking to this is the difference between a platitude and a relationship. So a platitude is, if you believe in yourself, everything is possible. If you have to look through the rain, you will see a rainbow. Yeah. Sometimes resting in God kind of feels like that too. God's voice needs to be louder than the world. And can I challenge you to actually stop in the midst of your day and listen? Listen for the Holy Spirit. Don't talk, don't plead, don't pray, but actually listen. One of the keys that I've been noticing is that we can intentionally pray and we talk at It's not a two-way street. And often it's the unexpected moments when we hear the Holy Spirit. It might be at the sink doing your dishes, like it was for me the other day. It was like a very clear, and it's like, is that God talking to me, or is that my mind talking to me? And I questioned it, and a little later it turned out it really was God saying, do this. Question your thoughts. Is it fear or faith? Either way, ask Holy Spirit, what am I to do with that? He'll tell you. If it's fear, toss it. If it's faith, this is another way of getting to know God. God reigns, always has, and always will. The other thing that I find too is surrendering and getting to know God more in the circumstances. This is my biggest trap. I tend to do stuff in my own strength. And have I surrendered? Matthew 11:28 says, come all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And in Corinthians, Paul says, God's grace is made perfect in our weakness. In our weakness, he's made strong. So don't do it alone. Read scripture, talk to other believers, lift one another up, pray for one another. I am so encouraged by our church. I'm hearing and seeing how people are rising to the challenge of our new reality. There are deep conversations. There is generosity and selflessness. And platitude alert, necessity is the mother of all invention. I think in a little while, we're going to be coming up with more and more ways to stay connected and to grow together while we're apart physically. And I can't help but thinking when we look back at these days, we will see amazing things have come out of this time as we rely on God and love each other. And I'm very much looking forward to hugs again. Love you guys. Can I pray for you? Father, I just pray for every person hearing this message today. And God, I pray that your voice will be louder than any voice of the world. God, that you will bless them, that you will comfort them, that you will let them rest in you. Father, I just pray your wisdom over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.